Buddy, it's good to be back, and I'd just like to give you an update here on Mother's Day of how God has been good to me and my group. A year ago, we had 4 nursing homes. A year before that, we had 25, and now we're up to 19, just like that, calling, and it's all because of God and His working through people, and I'm excited about that. And we're excited to be back here with our family, our congregational family, brothers and sisters. And it will probably be another 4 weeks before we're back because of commitments to other churches that I've made for Sunday morning services. So it is exciting to be here. And it feels good to be here back and seeing all of my friends and brothers and sisters, and having my brother David here is special also. So, mothers are special. And we never tire of talking about our mothers. But you know, being an evangelist, it's kind of hard to come up with a sermon where there's not a lot of evangelistic type messages, and that's what I am, an evangelist. So I'll do the best I can, and if you would bear with me. And everybody who wanted to gave a testimonial of their mothers, and I'm going to take the time here to give a testimonial of my mother. A lot of memories, but I don't have time to go through all of them. But I do remember that she was a wonderful person, a wonderful woman. And she loved her children. She loved her husband. She loved being a mother. And we had 8 children in our family. And never a strong word. Never got spanked by her, because she reserved that for my father when he got home from work. So, and that's what we were told. Wait till your father gets home. So, but she loved us very much, and we loved her. And it's just thinking back when going to school, getting up, she would get up before 6 o'clock in the morning, and she would start her day, every day. And she would prepare my father's breakfast and coffee, and then us children would get up around 7, and probably to the agitation of the old wringer washer, if you ever use one of them, the noise that it makes, and all the vibrations it sends through the house. We wake up to that, and we go out, and she would already be preparing our supper that night. She would be preparing that. She'd be washing clothes and doing anything else that she could to start the day, because she loved being a mother. And as I said, we love being her children. She was special. And I remember a lot of times my mother and father discussing little things before my father went to work, and it meant so much to me, just knowing that they loved each other and they cared for their family. So that's my testimonial for my mother, and I know that one day I will see her again because of what Jesus said, that if we believe in Him, we shall never die, and I believe she's alive in heaven now waiting on me. So I thank God for that opportunity to see my mother. Now, the gospel strings, we sing 3 or 4 Mother's Day songs that we probably don't have in our hymnals. But, you know, just songs that honor our mothers in heaven. And it's special to know for each and every one of us that our mothers are in heaven, for those who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. So, mothers, I applaud all of you, and I know Kim, she has to put up with a lot. I have a hectic schedule, both work and the gospel strings, and we have 3 children and 6 grandchildren, and you know, she's always concerned about them and taking care of the house. And so as far as being a mother, I think it's really a tougher job than being a father sometimes, because she's very studious and just doing what she has to do. And I get tired out sometimes just watching her do what she has to do. But I do appreciate all that she does, and she's a very good mother to her children and a good wife to her husband. But you know, mothers should be perfect people, shouldn't they? Mothers should be perfect. And as children, when we look at our mothers, we know they're perfect. But you know what epitomizes a mother is spelled out in the Old Testament, in Proverbs. Now, the preacher Solomon, King Solomon, wrote many Proverbs, but he wrote a special one about mothers and a wife. And I'm going to start out with what a mother should be. So I'm turning to Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10 through 15. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion up to her maidens. Now I'm going to drop down to verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So if you want to strive to be the woman that Solomon is talking about, I think that there are many, many mothers just like, and wives, just like he described. And it's wonderful that God gives us a vision of what a mother, a wife should be. And her children look up to her. And that's a big thing for children nowadays, to look up to their mother and not agitate their mothers and cause trouble for their mothers. And it's so to be looked upon by our children as wonderful mothers is a wonderful thing. God has answered many prayers throughout the past 5,000 or 6,000 years of mothers. And mothers who believed in God, they had a place to go when they needed something, when their life was in awry. They could go to God and have prayers, and they could expect answers from God. And God did answer many prayers of the women that we read about in the Bible. And I've chosen just a few just to remind us of a mother's faith in God and what it can do for her and for her family. And now I'm going to turn to read about Moses a little bit back in Exodus. And that's Exodus 1, starting at verse 22, and then continue for a few verses in Exodus 2, 1 through 3. Now at this time, the children of Israel, they're in Egypt, and there's a new Pharaoh. He didn't know Joseph, and he was getting kind of afraid of the Israelites being there in Goshen, because they were growing greatly and vastly, more than what the Egyptians were. So he decided that he was going to have the male children killed as they were born. So he was working against God's will here for God's people. And in verse 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Now here's a mother who had to have a great faith in her God to do something like that. First of all, she put her life in peril by saving her son. Pharaoh could have easily killed both of them and not thought anything about it, but she saved her son and said that he was a goodly son. So she cared for him until she could and sent him down the river. We know what happened, that the Pharaoh's sister found Moses. And God is good and answers prayer, because here Pharaoh's sister gave him back to his mother to care for him for a few years until he was grown and weaned and ready to go back to Pharaoh's sister. So not only did God save Moses, but he gave Moses back to his mother for a few more years. So that's the God that we serve. And we serve him faithfully and prayerfully. We can expect things like this. Now we know that Moses, being saved by God, grew up to be the greatest prophet that the Jewish nation has ever had. And he became a great leader, a great man of God, because his mother had enough faith in God to save her little boy as she put him into the river, which I think any of us would know, it requires a great faith to believe that God would take care of our son or daughter if we put them in a river. And what would come of them? Well, she had faith, and she loved God and proved it by relying on him for a miracle. And many miracles happened because of Moses, and we can go into Exodus and read them all, but what I want to stress is the faith and the love that a mother had for God. And God, as always, comes through, like he did here for Jochebed. Now I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel, starting at verse 10 through 13. Just some examples of mothers who relied on God for what they needed in their life. So starting at verse 10. Well, let's start at verse 9, I'm sorry. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat at a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of the soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now that's a faithful, God-fearing, God-believing mother to be. See, she was barren. She was barren. She couldn't have children, but her husband's other wife had children. And she scorned her, looked down on her, and she asked God here for what? A man-child. But she made a promise to God that I will give this man-child to you so he can be a servant to you forever and ever. Now in verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth, or he saw that she was moving her mouth, but she wasn't speaking out loud. She was speaking with her spirit through the Holy Spirit to God. And now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. So he's used to hearing the audible prayers of the Jewish people going up, but she was so so desperate in her soul for a man child that she, in her spirit, through her heart, approached God. And Eli thought that she was drunk. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." So she was believing in God. She was praying as much and as hard and as fervently as she could pray to the Lord, because she knew that he was the only one who could take this barrenness away from her, to give her a child. Back then, they had doctors they could go to. They had witches they could go to. They had, witch doctors they could go to throughout the land. But she came to the temple of God. She came to God and asked him. How much faith does it take to do that? To even be ridiculed by the priest, the high priest, Eli, there in the temple. But it didn't bother her. She knew what she wanted, and she knew that she had to go to God to get it. And as mothers, these are great examples. Great examples of how mothers can affect the whole family through their prayers. Believing in our God, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Believing that their prayers go up and the answers come down. And they do. And they do. How many miracles have we seen in our lifetime? So many that John said that really you can't even write them all in a book. There's not enough books. There's not enough ink to write down all the miracles that Jesus did. And God has, the Father has done just as many throughout the world as Jesus did here in 3 years on earth. Now I'm dropping down to verse 19 here quickly. "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah, her husband, knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." The Lord remembered the prayer, the desperate prayer of this woman who was his daughter. She came to the Lord, and God remembered her. God will remember all of us when we go into prayer with a heart that is full of belief and faith in Christ. He will remember. That's his promise. He will remember. "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." So she had a son. And then eventually she took him, after he was weaned, to the temple, to Eli and his sons, to be used by the temple to the glory of God. And we all know Samuel, he grew up to be a great judge of Israel, one of the greatest, if not the greatest. So God, in his wisdom, gave Hannah her answered prayers. But he also used the outcome of her prayers to his glory and to lead his nation, Israel, before the kings came into existence. But I do want to say that God comes through more and more like he did for Moses' mother. Hannah, she had 3 more sons and she had 2 daughters. So here she was barren. She prayed to God in full faith and she had 6 children total, including Samuel. So God is good all the time. All the time, and we can't forget that. And we had a Sunday school lesson, Nelson, today was going about, when things go awry in our lives, that we do need that hope. We do need hope, but that hope is only found in the Lord. We can't rely on ourselves to do things that only God can do anyways. So let's not be foolish about our lives. These mothers weren't foolish about their lives. They came and they took it to the Lord. They took it to the Lord, and the Lord honored them. Now, I do want to turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Now, here's a lady in the New Testament who believed in Jesus Christ. And she wasn't Jewish. She was a Greek. And she believed in Jesus Christ. And if we turn to Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 24, we'll see how great her faith was in Jesus Christ. Jesus was teaching and doing miracles, and I assume that he just must have got exhausted, so he went away by himself to the border of Tyre and Sidon, and there he went into a house to be alone that no man would know. So let's read what happened here. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. I remember reading in the Bible that it was noised that Jesus was in the house. Well, it wasn't noise that Jesus was in this house, but a mother who had a great concern for her daughter found Jesus where no one was supposed to find him. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And when she fell at his feet, she was worshiping Jesus Christ. She was worshiping the one whom she had faith who could help her out of this situation. Again, she didn't go to anybody else. She could have gone to anybody else to try to help her, but she went to Jesus Christ. She came to God because she knew that God, Jesus, could help her. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Now this is a metaphor about Jesus coming to the people of Israel. He came first to the people of Israel. So he's saying, it's not good for me to take away from them and give to somebody else who I really didn't come for. He came for everybody, but he came first to the Jews. So he said, should I take and give what I could be giving to them to you? So, and she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." So she's saying that children sitting around the table oftentimes get things on the floor. Now, I'm sure none of the mothers here experienced that, but apparently back then, the dogs would be there and cleaning up the mess that the children made under the table. So, and he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." The devil is gone out of that daughter. He knew, because he's God. He didn't have a problem with her coming to him because of her great faith, knowing that Jesus could help her. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. So here Jesus just said the devil was gone. And she had enough faith to leave Jesus and go home and see the devil gone out of her mother. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? Knowing what a devil could do in a person. But Jesus said, go home. And she went home and found what she was asking Jesus for. She asked him for a miracle, and Jesus gave her a miracle, gave her her daughter back. Can you imagine the feelings of all these mothers that I talked about, of how God worked in their lives, how God answered their prayers, and how God took care of the situations in their lives after that? You know, Jesus came so that we could all be saved. He came, not that he condemned us, but he came to save us. And he was here even to this Greek woman. He offered her the salvation because of her faith. God is our salvation. And for mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers here today, just remember that God is our salvation. And when we do have rough times as a mother and as a family, go to God. We have examples. These ladies were really no different than anybody here. 3,000 years ago, God is the same today as he was 3,000 years ago when Moses' mother needed him. So don't think that God is changing for the world. God isn't changing for the world because God doesn't change. So mothers, call upon the name of the Lord and train up our children in the ways of the Lord. And as we're finding out sometimes that, and when they are older, they will not depart from the word. So be a strong mother. Be a loving mother, a kind mother. But be a mother who truly believes and has faith in our wonderful God. And faith can move mountains. Faith surely can help us in our daily lives. So call upon Jesus, who loves us so much. These mothers are just examples. They're ordinary people. Let's be ordinary people and call upon God. And let's just see what God can do in our lives, in our families. And you know, I think we'll be amazed, excited, and just full of praise for the Lord, because that is who we strive for. That is our assurance in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and I thank you for all that you have done for us, Father. I thank you for your word, that we can go to it and read these great examples of these mothers so that we can learn from them. And Father, for the preacher who preached that how a mother should be and a wife should be and how our children look up to her, Father, and as we look up to you today. And Father, I pray that you will be with everybody here. And today, especially the mothers on Mother's Day and the grandmothers, and just be with them. Give them strength and courage to do what they need to do in their lives. May they call upon you for all that they need. And I ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.